For this afternoon's reading, with God's help, I'd like to just read a few verses. I believe very well-known verses for each and every one of us that are found in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7. Just like to read two verses, verses 13 and 14. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. May God bless the reading of his holy word. In these few, again, I believe, familiar verses that we have read together, Jesus is describing, because these are the words of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, contained in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. These are the words of Jesus where he describes two ways, two gates that we can enter in. We know this to be true, that there are only two ways that we can choose. Jesus describes here, and he says that there is one way that's broad or wide that leads to destruction, and that there be many that find that way, many that choose that way, and that there is a narrow way that leads to life, and there be few that find it. It's not up to us to determine what few or what many means. That's only God's working. Judgment does not belong unto us, but unto him, and the judgment will be righteous. It will be perfect, because God knows the thoughts, the intents of each and every one of us. So it's not up to us to try to determine what percentage of people will choose each way, but it's up to us to choose for ourselves which way we will choose, because there are only two ways. I believe we're all very familiar with the hymn that we sing in the Zion's Harp often, where it speaks of there only being two ways before us that we can choose. Two ways, O man, before thee lie, that lead to just two places. The devil would have us to believe that there are multiple ways, more than just two. He will have us believe a lie that, as Brother Robert mentioned in the prayer, he will have us believe a lie that there are more options, or that we don't have to take seriously the options that we have before us. Those are all lies from the devil. He is the father of lies, and that's the only way that he can speak to us. He must lie. There's no other option, no other way that he can speak to us but through lies. And the devil will have us to believe that there is more than one way that leads to heaven. He might tell us that there is one way that's a little bit easier, that leads to less, maybe a lesser reward, but you're still going to heaven. And then there's a more difficult way that maybe leads to more rewards in heaven, but you're still going to heaven. But Jesus here does not describe that kind of path. He just simply says there's one way. There's one way that leads to life, and that everlasting, and there's one way that leads to destruction, and that also everlasting. The devil will have us believe there's a path, an option that leads to eternal, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, obliteration, where we just simply cease to exist. That's an option that the devil will tell us because it's convenient. Because if we choose that path, that means we can just live the life that we want to live, and then when our life is over, we will just cease to exist, and we will not have to be accountable for any of the decisions that we have made. But that's not what Jesus is telling us here. He says there are only two ways, one to life and one to destruction. One to blessings, innumerable, and one to destruction, indescribable. Only two. And this way to life is a way that Jesus himself has made. It's a way that he has paved. And his disciples asked him, what is this way? Because Jesus spoke of a way. In the Gospel according to John chapter 14, Jesus speaks to his disciples and he tells them that he's going to prepare a place for them. And if that were not the case, then he would have told them. But he told them he's going to prepare a place for them. And he says that, where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas, one of his disciples, asks him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Of course, Jesus gives the very familiar answer to all of us, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He describes himself as that way. He is the way. No one comes unto the Father but by him. There's no other name given. There's no other name under heaven given whereby we might be saved but the name of Jesus. He is the way to salvation. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to eternal life. Only one way. Only one way. Multiple religions will teach us that simply believing that we in and of ourselves can choose to be good, can choose to be moral, that's sufficient. We heard in this morning's message that we are wretched. We are despicable. The thoughts of each and every one of us without God are so disgusting that we don't even want to bring them up. We want to cover our sin. That's human nature. But the way to life is the way that Jesus himself has paved, the way that he himself has walked. It's a way of self-denial. It's a way of crucifying this flesh, dying daily, dying that we might live, crucifying this flesh, crucifying the lust, the desires that this flesh has, that are naturally within us, crucifying that, trusting in God for that help, that strength. That is the way to life. An unbeliever might say that that's foolishness, that's nonsense, but to us it's life, it's peace, it's joy, it's rest. We don't even have the words to describe what choosing that way gives us. We can't even describe it, how wonderful that is. And there is only one way. Multiple religions will teach us that, yes, Jesus lived on this earth. They believe that he came, but he was just simply a prophet. He was simply a prophet. He was maybe simply a very moral man, a good man, one that did not lie. And that's where they leave it. Multiple religions will tell us this. But then where does that lead us? Where does that leave us? It leaves us with no chance, no hope of salvation, because we're relying on what? Our own righteousness. Our own ability to be found pure in God's sight. And we never can be without Christ. It's his blood that washes us. It's his blood that cleanses us, that makes us a new creature, to be born again. This is what that way means. We heard this morning, it requires repentance. Walking on this way that leads to life requires repentance. Turning away from the old life that we are currently living in, that we love, turning away completely from that and going the opposite direction. That's the way to life. Because the way to life and the way to destruction are completely the opposite direction. The devil will have us present it as a fork in the road where we can lean maybe slightly one way or slightly the other, but they're completely opposite directions. They have nothing to do with each other. The way to life and the way to destruction are completely 180 degrees away from each other. Polar opposites, we might say. John the Baptist was described as the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He came to prepare the way for Jesus. He was described as the forerunner of Christ. And John the Baptist was prophesied of in Isaiah chapter 40, where it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Every valley being exalted, and every mountain and hill being made low, the crooked being made straight, and the rough places plain. That's what our life has to be if we're on that way, the way to life. That's what repentance is. Am I making things right? Am I preparing a place in my heart for Jesus to come into? Because he's knocking. Make no mistake, Jesus is knocking at our heart's door, and he wants nothing more than to come in and to sup with us, to dine with us, to make his abode within us. He wants us to be in that way so desperately. He wants nothing more than for us to be on that way. The way of self-denial, the way of repentance, the way of walking in newness of life. That's what it means to be on this way. And again, the devil will present much confusion about this way. He'll present this way as having multiple different levels, multiple different options. But if we believe that, we are choosing to believe a lie. As Brother Robert mentioned, the prayer, sometimes it's convenient, oftentimes it's convenient for us to believe the lie of the devil, the lies of the devil that he presents us with, that tell us we don't quite have to listen to every word that's written for us. God knows you're trying, just do the best you can. If you have a few shortcomings, as you heard about this morning, God understands. He's merciful. He understands. Just do the best you can and everything will take care of itself. That's a lie from the devil. As we heard of this morning, not to look at our shortcomings as as if they are nothing. What's a shortcoming? It's sin. It's all unrighteousness is sin. And I don't say that now to present myself as having obtained perfection. No, not at all. But that should be the goal. That should be the striving. Because what does Jesus command us? Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the goal. That's our goal. To be on that way means to be striving for perfection, not to be content, not to be satisfied with our level of faith, with our level of understanding, but always be striving to learn more, to be better, to be closer, to be molded closer into the image of Christ. That's what it means to be on the way. And the way is Jesus himself. And he has walked that way. He himself has walked that way, showing us, proving to us that it is possible for us also to walk on that way. Because Jesus would not present us with this way, this narrow way. He would not present us with this way and tell us to go on that way if he didn't already do it perfectly. He will never tell us to do something that we can't do, something that we are not able to do. He'll never tell us to do something that he himself has not done. But Christ constantly in the scriptures says, learn of me. As I do, so you should also do. That's the requirement to be on the way. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 15, describes Jesus as having been on this way before us. First Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 20, reads, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." So Christ here is being presented as described as the first fruits. He's the one that went that way before us. He's the one that walked that way perfectly, that gave his life as an offering. He rose from the dead, and now he is the first fruits for us. He is the way for us. Because by Adam's sin, as was described here, by one man came death. That one man is Adam. Adam sinned, and by that all humanity was condemned. And let's not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, and to think that we would have done differently in Adam's position. We wouldn't have. We would have all done the same thing that Adam and Eve did. We would have disobeyed. So by that one transgression, by that one disobedience, all mankind was condemned. But by one man's obedience, by one man's walking on that way perfectly, Christ Jesus our Lord, by his obedience, by his suffering, by his sacrifice, we can all be made alive. But what does that require? It requires walking on that way, that way that he describes as a narrow way, a way that many will not seek, a way that relatively few will seek after, because it's inconvenient. It's difficult. It requires a resistance. Do we have resistance in our lives to the temptations that come our way? Do we feel resistance when we are tempted? Do we feel an urge to turn away from that temptation? Do we feel a hatred of a temptation when it's presented to us? That's good. That's what we should feel as believers. If we feel no resistance, if we feel tempted and we just completely surrender to that temptation, we give in right away and there's no resistance, there's no struggle, there's no striving, we are the devils and we are on that way, that wide way that leads to destruction. If there's no resistance, there's no struggle, there's no battle. It has to be a constant battle, and that battle will be waged as long as we're alive. Going on that path, going on that way, the way that leads to life, means a constant struggle, a constant battle. That's why it's a narrow way. It's a narrow way because it requires every day a struggle, a battle, an inward spiritual struggle that we have to go through if we're going to be on that way. The book of Acts describes many times the way of Christ. It describes it as that way. The disciples were going and teaching, and multiple times it said that there was a contention in a certain city about that way. That's what the disciples were teaching. They were teaching the way of Christ, the way of self-denial, the way of laying down your life for others, thinking of others more highly than yourself. That's the way of Christ, and that's what the apostles were teaching. And that was controversial. In many cities, it's written, there was commotion, chaos in these cities where the apostles were teaching about this way. And that's the case today as well. There's always a contention, always I don't even know the word I'm looking for. There's always a struggle between believers and unbelievers. Do we really Does mankind accept this way? Naturally, no. Mankind looks at the way of Christ as foolishness. Mankind looks at the way of Christ as weakness. And the way of Christ will require being completely different in this world and not being afraid of that, not being ashamed of that. We can look in the world around us, and we can look at churches around us, and we can see that there is much contention amongst Christianity about what this way entails. I think the easiest example that we can use is gay marriage. I'll just use that because it's low-hanging fruit. It's an example that we see in front of us often, where we see churches with gay pride flags on them. And I think we've maybe thought, or we've heard others say, maybe we ourselves have also said it. We can say, "Oh, they're making the way of Christ wider." We can look at these churches that teach false doctrines. Pick any doctrine you want. I'm not going to focus on anything in particular. I just use the example of gay marriage because it's so easy for us to spot. We can look at that and say they are making the way wider, but they're not. There's no such thing. Nobody, no man, nobody can make the way of Christ wider. It can't be done. It's impossible. And I think we say this thought and we maybe don't even think about what we're saying. Oh, they're widening the way. No, you can't. Nobody can widen that way. The width of that way is prescribed by Jesus himself. No man can now take the way of Christ, can take that way of self-denial and make it wider. It's not possible. And that doesn't mean that if we follow now 99% of Christ's teachings, but we ignore one, that doesn't mean that we're on a way that's just simply 1 degree off. No, we're completely the opposite direction. Because there's only two ways, life and destruction. We either accept Jesus for who he is in his totality. That means we're on the way. And if we reject him or any of his one teachings, that means we don't love him. That means we love darkness rather than light. And Jesus teaches us that this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation that light is come into the world. He himself is light, the light of the world. He describes himself as the light of the world. Light has come into the world and men prefer darkness rather than light. That is the condemnation. That is what we're choosing if we take any of Christ's commandments and choose to ignore them, choose to minimize them. If we take any of our sins or shortcomings or whatever you want to call them and minimize them or try to hide them, try to cover them up, to not bring them to the light, that means we're not on that way. We're not on that way of self-denial, that way of giving ourselves, yielding ourselves completely unto him. Because that's what it requires to be on that way. A struggle. It requires a struggle. And we can see, Jesus describes in the verses following what we read, in the verses following those that we read in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus describes false prophets. He says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." So we see evidence. We can see evidence of teaching. What are people teaching? Are they teaching the way of Christ or not? We can see that by their fruits, very simply. Is someone full of love, full of compassion? If we're full of love, if we're full of compassion for our fellow man, that means we hate the sin that they're committing. We're trying to pull them out of it. I believe it's off the top of my head, I believe it's in Jude, where it speaks and tells us to save, to do our best to try to work and to save others, to pull them out of the fire, hating the garment that's spotted with sin. And what does that require? That means showing someone that they're not on that way and showing someone that they must live, they must walk on that way if they're going to have life. And that means uncomfortable conversations at times. Not to lift up ourselves in pride, but to point out someone else's sin and to try to do our best to save them from it. Are we now saving someone? No. That ability is not given to us to save. All we should try to do is to point others to Christ, to the one that can save them, to the one that can pull them out of that fire, the one that can point them on that way. And we can see by their fruits, by the fruits of teachers, what are they teaching? How are they living? So going back to the low-hanging fruit, the easy example of gay marriage, I think we can all look at that and read multiple verses in the Bible where it speaks against that. And we can reject that teaching, and we should, rightfully so. But now what do we do with that? Do we now say that simply if you're a Christian, if you say you're a Christian and you don't believe that gay marriage is acceptable, now that means you're automatically on that way? No. Because being a Christian requires much more. It requires much more than simply not accepting gay marriage. There's many that have no faith at all that don't accept that. But is that enough? Is that enough for them to be found pure in God's sight? No. They must also accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are many in this world that know that it's not natural for man and man or woman and woman to be together. It's not natural. They cannot coexist naturally like that. There's many that believe that way. They believe in that, but they're not on the way because they don't believe Christ and all his teachings. They reject his teachings as foolishness. So if we try to widen the way of Christ and just simply say, oh, as long as you don't accept gay marriage, that means you're on that way. We are trying to maybe widen the way, but we can't. We cannot widen that way. That way is already made perfect, already paved perfectly. It's not our job to try to make it wider. It's our way to try to point others to that way. That's all we can do. And that's all God's asking us to do. God's not asking us to do something that we can't. As we spoke of Christ, he's not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done. He's not asking us to do something that we can't, that's above our abilities. He's not telling us to go by ourselves and save someone. We just simply point them to Christ, to the one who can save them. We can save no one. Who are we going to save? In all our unrighteousness, and the best that we can possibly give unto God is as filthy rags. Who are we going to save? Nobody. But we can point them to the one who can. To show them the way of Christ is much deeper than maybe someone understands. If we're filled with hatred for those that practice gay marriage, that means we're not on the way. How can we hate someone for committing a sin? How can we have evil thoughts or evil intents of these people that do not follow Christ's teachings? That means we're not on the way. Because the way of Christ is love, compassion. And the world would spin that. The world would spin that and to say, God is accepting of all mankind. And yes, he is. But we have to change. We have to be reborn. We have to be new creatures. That's the requirement for us to be on that way. God's not asking us to widen the way. God's not asking us to take words out of the Bible or to add words to the Bible. In fact, at the end of Revelation, in the last chapter, he says, if anyone adds any words to this my word, the plagues that are described in the Bible will be added unto him. And if anyone removes words from this Bible that has been given unto you, that person's name will be taken out of the book of life. So it's not for us to change God's word. It's not for us to wipe out verses or to twist the meaning of them in an attempt to make the way wider, in an attempt to make the way easier for someone to walk on. How do we teach the gospel of Christ? Do we teach it in its entirety, in its totality? If we don't, then we're not giving anyone the power that they need. If we simply think that just coming to church, reading the Bible once in a while is enough, we're so deceived. We're so deceived by the lies of the devil that would tell us that's enough to be in that way. And there's much deceit. There's much deceit in this world about the way. How can there be so many churches? How can there be so many denominations with so many different interpretations of this way? It's so simple. And thanks be to God that it is simple. We don't even need to know how to read, and we can understand the way. We can be blind and understand the way. We can be deaf and understand the way. We can be illiterate and understand the way because it's simple. That's the way that God would have it for us. But mankind would twist. Mankind, with the devil's help, of course, led by the devil and his manipulation, his evilness, mankind would take the word of God and its simpleness, its perfection, and try to twist it and to say something that it doesn't. That's not walking in that way. Walking on the way is living as Christ has lived. He has left behind the perfect example for us. Where else do we need to look? What else are we looking for? Why would we present a gospel to someone and leave out its entirety? Why would we leave out the most important parts? For what? What are we trying to do? Are we then trying to make the way wider? Because we can't. Again, I think we don't even think at times about what we're saying when we say that. The way of Christ is a way that we can all find. It's a way that Jesus promises if we seek that way, we will find it. It's not a way that's hard to find. It's not a way that's tucked behind somewhere in the bushes where we can hardly find it. No, it's right before us. The path to life is right before us. It's not hard to find. It's just simply hard to walk on. It's actually impossible to walk on by ourselves. We need to be led of the Spirit. We need to give ourselves, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. To present our bodies as a living sacrifice and to trust in the one who has bought us with his blood. That's what it means to choose that way. It's simple. It's very simple. Thanks be to God for that. God would have it to be no other way. We can see the Pharisees took the law of Moses and added so many more commandments to make themselves more lifted up, to make their own lives look better, to make themselves lifted up and to put down others. God's not asking us to do that. God's just simply asking us to look at his son. And God says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I have sent him. He is my son. Listen to him. Live as he has lived. And you will have life and that everlasting." Perhaps a simple message this afternoon, but I believe that God would have it that way. Because the way of Christ is a simple way. May this word in this afternoon, with God's help, find a place in each and every one of our hearts. And may God bless his word. Amen.
Jesus says that few will find this way to life. Where will you look? How could you summarize, or what word would you use to describe this way? Would you distill it down to faith? Would you distill it down to love towards holiness? But to Christ. But to Christ in all his teachings, his life, his death, his resurrection. That is the way that we're taught to follow. And that is the simple way. It's a way that gives up all of ourselves. And few there be that find it. But it's a way that leads to life. And it's the invitation that's given today to seek the Lord while he may be found. We sang this hymn, and there's another verse that we didn't sing, but I'd like to just read in conclusion. His way at first may seem too hard, too steep and full of sorrow. Yet peace, e'en now, is its reward, and bliss in God's tomorrow. Who through the narrow gate doth press, an inner peace will he possess, and very joy in living. That's the destination of this straight gate and this narrow way. It's the way that leads to life. And that's a way that's worthwhile. And Jesus has taught us, even if you could gain the whole world on the broad way and lose your soul, what are you gaining? What are you gaining on the road that you're walking on? May we all seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. Amen.